You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome back Carl Johan Kalemann to the show. Carl holds a PhD in physical biology from the University of Stockholm. He has been a senior researcher at the University of Washington and has served as a cancer expert for the World Health Organization. He is also a leading expert on the Mayan calendar and is the author of the two books, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness, and The Mayan Calendar. Tonight, we'll be discussing his latest book, The Purposeful Universe. It's a paradigm shifter involving quantum theory, Mayan cosmology, and the origin and evolution of life. So let's welcome Carl to the show now. Hi, Carl. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm very happy to be on this show again also.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
I listened to another interview with you and picked up a few pointers, but there's so much ground we can cover that, we could certainly go in a multitude of directions. But the first thing I was going to ask you is, what inspired you to write The Purposeful Universe?
Well, I think it's goes back a long way. It goes back to the very first encounter I had with the Mayan, the Mayan calendar, which was in 1979. And at that time, I was still a graduate student of biology at the University of Stockholm. And it was a very, very strong experience for me. You might say, life-altering experience then, to go down to the Mayan region and get this, for the first time in my life, really, this sense that life had a purpose. I could sense deeply that I myself had found like a spiritual home on Earth, and my own life seemed to have some kind of a meaning and direction. And that's a feeling I just got from the experience of being there and the particular interactions I had with the people down there. Mm. And but at the same time, that whole experience that, you know, I'm sure many of your listeners have had in one way or another, it was really in conflict with all I had been taught as a graduate student science and biology, where the dominating theory is basically that life is an accident, and so there really could not have any purpose or any direction, and life was ultimately random in origin. So that's what I was taught. And so the conflict between these two ways of looking at reality, it arose already there in 1979. And then in the early 90s, I left my previous scientific career and started devoting myself to the Mayan calendar. But I think it was then only a matter of time until I would really try to create some kind of a synthesis between these two, my main lines of studies in life, in other words, the Mayan cosmology and my my scientific background. And this happened to happen a few years ago then in 2007. And really, ultimately, what the immediate trigger was that I came across an article in Science magazine that pointed to the existence of a large-scale structure in the universe, the tree of life, something I had suspected long time because, and I've hinted at in earlier books, but there seemed to have been no scientific verification of it. And suddenly, once the verification is there, when you're no longer just speculating, but you can see that there is data to sustain your fundamental hunch about the way things are, well, then you have some ground to stand on. And on that ground, once I had that, it was I just dove deep into the whole field, and the result was this particular book, The Purposeful Universe.
And of course, with the Tree of Life, you begin to make a connection between the various realms, the larger to the smaller, or as above, so below. In fact, in Chapter 4, the subject of that chapter is that the cosmic tree of life is the synchronizing factor behind biological evolution.
Yeah.
Would you care to elaborate on this a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it is a dilemma let me just start by saying that although this Gaiant axis that exists in our universe and serves to organize it in different directions, it's been verified in repeated studies, but it's still not something that the scientific community goes out there. And I think they have a sense that this is something that can be understood in a much more deeper and interesting way, and that it actually threatens much of the fundamentals of the materialist dogmatism that underlies much of modern science. So the existence of this axis, it's been verified several times with modern techniques, but it's still not out among the public, even though I would call this one of the most consequential discoveries of all time. Telling us, really, that from the very beginning, the universe had a structure, and that the way the universe has developed and evolved since then is really a result of that structure. It is not the evolution that has given rise to the structure, but the structure has guided and given a direction to evolution, and that includes the evolution of biological species. And it's been a sort of an unsolved dilemma to modern science. The fact that there is very strong evidence to suggest, or most would say it's absolutely clear, that the universe started with a big bang. And I agree on that, too. It's just that it doesn't quite make sense. If everything starts with a big explosion, how did we come to the kind of world that we see around ourselves? And how did all the plants and all the animals and we human beings, how did we get structured, so to speak? Like you and I, we're human beings, but we're fundamentally defined by the you might say, the six directions or the four directions of the world tree. We have an up, we have a down, we have left and right side, we have the front and the back. And all higher animals are basically organized in this way. So there is obviously a need to explain why do biological species have a structure. And I'm saying then that it goes back to the fact that they are created in the image of this original structure, what the ancients would talk about as the tree of life.
Now, in your diagram, the tree of life is involved at every level except at the organismic level. Why is it not operating in the level in which we live? Am I reading that correctly?
Well, kind of. I think what I'm saying is really that the tree of life may be there at all the different levels, but what makes our level unique is the fact that we're not rotating around it. In other words, for instance, the sun, you might say, which is the center of the tree of life of the solar system, it has an axis through it that you might refer to as the central axis, a polar axis around which it rotates. But it rotates, and so does our galaxy, and so does our planet. And lower levels are also rotating around some central axis. You might call it the tree of life, as I have.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not rotating, not in the sense of physically rotating. And that's what sets us apart. And my understanding is that we, in this chain of relationship between different levels of the tree of life, we are meant to be the level where the experience of creation takes place. And in order for this to happen, we shouldn't be rotating like the others.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> It'd be very difficult if we were. Well, now, how does this, I kind of want to segue somehow into the Mayan calendar and, you know, the different, where we're at right now, which is, and how all of this relates to the evolutionary process that is part of the many wheels of the calendar, and then the nine steps or nine waves.
Yeah.
And we're presently in the latter half or the last half of the sixth night, and I believe we'll be moving into the seventh day in sometime in November. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. That's how I see it, yes.
What now, you were absolutely right in your predictions that in the, I believe it was the fifth night, there would be a global financial collapse, and indeed...
Right. Yes.
There was. But it seemed like I had the feeling that that was going to be a even larger event than it was, but that seemed like the powers that be kind of put their fingers in the dike, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that this latter half of the sixth night might be a period of time when we see the fulfillment or the end of that beginning of the loss of the old paradigms.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Well, it absolutely makes a great sense, and I share your guess, you might say. I think we're doing what might be called an informed guess.
right.
But as you know, it's future is very hard to predict. But yes, that particular thing with the economic downturn was very precisely predictable from the Mayan calendar many, many years ahead. And in fact, it was predicted by myself, especially, I think. So it tells us a little bit about that these waves and these different energies that they are constituted by, that they are actually shaping our reality and our evolution. This fall, as then we're both guessing, it sort of corresponds to, I don't want to go into detail on it, but it corresponds to the time period 1986-1992, essentially. That's the period when the Cold War came to an end, the Berlin Wall fell, and it was actually a tremendous, I think many people experienced a great amount of hope in those days, because the world became unified in a certain sense, and the divisions that have separated the Eastern and the Western hemispheres actually dissolved, and a wave of democracy swept over large parts of the planet that hadn't experienced that before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of the speed up of time, this kind of a revolutionary time period will be compressed, but logically speaking, that we would have a parallel to that in this fall, I would say between 17th of July and, as you mentioned, 3rd of November of this fall. And then what are the Berlin Walls that will fall? Well, that's still something we may think about, but I think the Berlin Walls that will fall are mental walls, but also walls between different, between people that are in different places in the social and religious hierarchies.
Mm.
So I can imagine that there will be a downfall of hierarchies, especially financial and religious, that have been sort of upholding Berlin walls against the populace at large, if
mm-hmm.
I may put it that way.
Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense. We can see the beginnings of that right now within the Catholic Church, for one example.
Yes.
With all of the information that's coming out about the, pedophilia.
Yeah.
That's been going on for decades and decades, and apparently at the highest levels.
Yeah.
And then we see the demand for more clarity and transparency with the Federal Reserve, which is basically a banking cartel. And so there seems to be a push in the air to reveal or expose or to see the truth behind these institutions.
Yeah.
Now, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that's right.
Yeah.
Now, how do the days and nights relate to the various waves?
Well, you might say we are, there are basically nine waves. And each of those is developing according to a rhythm of its own. And each of those nine waves are developed by a sequential order of 13 energies, where you may call seven of those days, and then there are six intermediate nights. In Mayan cosmology, there was the idea that there were seven gods of creation. You might say these are the gods, if you like, that are ruling what we would call the days. When the Maya talked about gods, they are actually talking about what we in our modern perspective would talk about just as energies, really, I would say.
Mm-hmm,
So there are those, but we are in a particular place where we are coming to a close of one wave. We're coming close to the seventh day of the galactic underworld, or the eighth wave, if you like. But at the same time, we are heading towards the activation of a new wave with a higher frequency that develops on top of that eighth wave. And so here we're coming into a particular period of overlapping of the effects of these different waves. And it is when that overlap happens, when the that times may become very revolutionary. And I'm not saying revolutionary in the sense of violent. I'm saying revolutionary in the sense of the time period 1986 to 1992, when this whole wave of democracy swept the world and the internet came into existence. The European Union was instituted and several things like that. And another time period that is an exact parallel is basically the Renaissance, 1498 to 1617. And that's also a very revolutionary time period with completely new ways of thinking, connecting the different parts of the earth, a new art, a new architecture, a new perspective, and many other things. The early scientific revolution, these things came then, but it's not necessarily a violent change. True revolutions are not violent because violence tends to detract from the power of the actually revolutionary events.
Right, and we've been wallowing in violence now for thousands of years. It seems it's time to raise our consciousness and move out of that barbaric behavior.
Yes.
So now, this what you're talking about, this period between 1986 and 92, which correlates to the coming period, is you're referring now, that's from July 17th to November 3rd?
That's what I would say, yes.
So we're in that right now.
What, excuse me?
So we're pretty much, I wonder, we will be moving into that period because we're in June
right now.
Yes, we
will be moving into that. That's what I believe.
I think I had a time warp there for a moment.
Yeah.
And then November 3rd, we move, after that, we move into the seventh day, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And then that lasts from when to when?
Well, it's activated November 3rd, and then it will end at the same time that I think all of these different wave movements will be coming to their completion, October 28, 2011.
Now, you're bringing up a very interesting point, and one that I think is important for people to listen to and understand, because you're one of the few people that has calculated the calendar to actually come to an end on October 28th, 2011, and not December 21st of 2012.
Yeah.
Why is that such an important thing to know, a piece of information, and how did you arrive at that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think there are many things to say around this particular issue. The first thing is that we've always gotten used to this idea that we're languaging it as saying that the calendar is coming to an end. And superficially, it might seem so. Most people are just focusing on one of the different, on the nine waves, the so-called long count. And that, you know, it may say that there is no continuation beyond a certain point. But if you look upon the nine waves more like a pyramidal structure, because I'm convinced that the pyramids, the nine-storied pyramids that are so central in different locations in the Maya lands, in Tikal, in Palenque, in Chichen Itza, and so forth, then you get another image. The image is rather one of the build-up of consciousness, that each of these nine levels, each of these nine waves are building on the lower stage, on the stage provided by the lower level. And so there is a build-up. And in my understanding, this is all then about the completion of a build-up, or you could use another terminology that I'm using, and that is that the universe will on October 28, 2011, attain its highest quantum state, its highest energy state, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just by changing this language, I think you are removing some of the unnecessary fear around this. I'm not expecting this great discontinuity that some people are imagining, so to speak, because my model with nine levels, which is consistent with the ancient Mayan inscription on Tortuguero, that is a model that talks about climbing to the top. It's not an end we're looking at. We're talking about putting the last piece of the puzzle or the last piece of the building into a pyramid or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first thing. That I think people would like to focus on, should focus on. The second thing I like to say is that the people that are saying December 21, 2012, their model is essentially static. It's like to them, they have no points in between now and this end date that they are proposing. So what that means is that the only conclusion you would have to draw is that just to wait and see what happens, because they have nothing to say about how evolution is proceeding until that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming a very a focus on a particular date that is very alien to true Mayan calendar thought. I think that's really a fact. And really what has happened is that some people have heard about this December 21, 2012, and they've heard about John Jenkins' theory, which basically was it was made on him based on his studies on computer screens astronomical modern software that the Maya had never available. And so from this reason, and then if there is one particular date, well, then they think it must be a solstice, and so that's the only time they could think of, and so they are putting all that emphasis on this. Now, I don't want to, what to say, polarize people just because of this scholarly difference between some of me and some other people and the majority of people that are saying December 21, 2012. What I do want to say, though, and this I really want to emphasize, is that it's disastrous if people are looking at a particular date as something that they should wait to see what happens. If they don't realize that it's a process that leads up there, and that this process is calling us to become co-creators in the evolution and the fulfillment of the cosmic plan. In that case, it's disastrous. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if people are actively participating in the process of becoming co-creators, as far as I'm concerned, they may believe in any end date they like. But unfortunately, the case is that most of these December 21 people, they are looking at something specific that will happen on that date, whether it's an asteroid, whether it's a galactic alignment, whether it's a pole shift or something like that that usually cannot be seen as a good thing.
And,
this is what I want to emphasize. The scholarly debate is a little bit beside the point, but it's not beside the point if you're sitting there waiting to see what will happen, because then you will miss the chance of being part.
Absolutely. And I think that unfortunately, due to many of the different religions and their expectations about some kind of salvation or savior that's going to come down, either in spaceships or as some kind of ascending or descending being and save everybody, So many people are waiting for that event on a certain date, and they're not taking responsibility for their lives.
Yeah.
And they're turning over their power and attention to some abstract idea which is not real.
Yeah.
So, and as I see it now, this is an evolutionary process that's reaching its culmination, which means it could be a whole new evolution for us. Many of my guests talk about it, like the larvae turning into the butterfly, and that in that process, everything gets melted down inside the cocoon. But the cells form this brand new form of life, so it's quite possible that this is going to be a wonderful and exciting a moment, you know, period of time for us to evolve into, isn't it?
Yeah, there certainly is. There are. Let me. Point out a few things. One is that this ninth wave that is about to be activated, strictly speaking, March 9th, 2011, it's a wave of consciousness, a wave that we may expect shifts our frame of consciousness in such a way as to produce an experience of unity of all things.
Mm.
And this, I think, is really, to the extent that we're able to embody this new consciousness, we will also be perceiving the world in a completely new way. And as we change our perception in accordance with this new frame of consciousness, we will also be recreating a new world. And with a unity consciousness, we will probably not be recreating a world of conflicts or separation.
Mm-hmm.
And not only then, I'm talking about separation between genders or separation between different groups of people, but mm-hmm. also the separation between ourselves and nature. And
mm-hmm.
This is one of the areas where I think we, our previous frame of consciousness, we're now starting to see that it has had very dangerous consequences.
Mm.
Our experience of a separation from nature has led us to exploit it in such a way that we have not taken into consideration what's needed for a harmonious functioning of the whole, planetary ecological system, and so forth.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We can see that with the major oil spills and,
yeah.
Just the various ecological disasters that seem to all be hitting. They're merging in some kind of time frame that's not going to knock us. It'd be a 1-2 punch if we're not careful.
Yep.
So, So this when we're able to experience the unity wave now, would there be some who will be so resistant or so closed off within themselves or so used to a certain type of behavior that they're not able to use these energies? Or do you think that is something that will just transform all of us?
Well, this is guesswork on my part.
Okay.
So my guess is that it will not affect everyone. And it's something that will be initially, it will be, absorbed or assimilated of some kind of a minority of people. And then the question is, over time, how many of those that did not immediately grasp it, how many of them will then come to at a later point? when you might say the cosmic energies have stabilized and created this fully built building. Are they going to turn and change into this new consciousness or not? And I really have no answer on this. What I know from the past, from times when, you know, there's been a significant shift in the Mayan calendar, it's usually something that initially it's just a very small minority that is driven by the new consciousness. And but over time, it expands to other groups. I think that's something that will apply also in this situation.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And, of course, in your book, you point out in great detail about how our inner biology reflects this this cosmology as well, and that there even intent can trigger the inner antenna to evolve. And of course, with these higher energies coming in, we're part of those energies because everything is interconnected, and you can't separate any particular thing out and say, well, this doesn't belong in here, it's not part of it. It's all an interconnected life form. So we could be changed from within as well, couldn't we, on the molecular level?
I don't really expect that.
No?
I know a lot
okay.
of people are talking about DNA changes and so forth, but that is, you know, scientifically speaking, that's completely unverified. I think that's just it's just people are having the intuition that that is so, and then they say it. But
there's
a lot of people like to do those things, but you know, maybe not. I guess not, but it's unsustained, and so I don't necessarily think that our physiological makeup will change in the coming times ahead.
Okay, but our consciousness.
Yes,
is what will be,
yes, and that is what these waves are bringing, and I got track a little bit. Yes, but
all right.
I might want to enter this particular topic of the so-called conscious convergence.
Oh yes, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yes,
and get that out into the airwaves.
Yes.
That you've created or are creating something that goes beyond anything we've done before, like the harmonic convergence. And it's a global conscious convergence on July 17th and 18th, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Would you like to just talk about that as much as you like? Because I think that's really important.
Thank you. Yes. Well, we are creating. It's not just me. This is a worldwide thing. And we have been a little bit slow, I must say, in getting the website up, the consciousconvergence.com. But basically, it is sort of a time for we're calling for a gathering of people to prepare for this shift towards unity consciousness, and so then in those particular dates, 17th and 18th of July. We are calling for people to set the intention to manifest unity consciousness. This then is something that we, based on the Mayan calendar, we may expect that this kind of a shift is about to happen, and we may expect as well that in this fall, as this new, as we go, taking the direction towards this new unity consciousness, that maybe many of the old kind of structures that are not consistent with unity consciousness will indeed come to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea here is really to say that we have to ask for it, basically. We have to set this kind of intention. And it's also not only that we have to do that if we want to see it happen, of course, but it's also that there is a need today to make this kind of an intention or this kind of a direction into a collective phenomena. It's like a choice that each one of us needs to make by ourselves, individually. So we are, the idea is that July 17th, 18th, it's a time when we should ask ourselves if we are authentically willing to set this particular intention, which is something that would really potentially cause a great shift in how our entire civilization operates.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing it at the same time, at sort of setting up a base camp for the final climb to the top of the pyramid, it will become it will be an intention that lives a life of its own, and it will be like a rope for people to hold on to, as in many ways I expect that times will be difficult in the years ahead. We will be facing situations that we've never faced before, and full of surprises. Some of them we might look upon as very positive, but some of them might also be very disruptive and disturbing and so forth. And what we then will need is some kind of a common sense among us, a collective sense that there exists this kind of a direction to see our entire civilization transformed into one of that is based on unity consciousness. And so that's the reason we are calling for gatherings. Of course, you can do this by yourself, and that's good if it's all authentic and strong like that. But we are still encouraging people to gather to do so, because that strengthens the whole thing. That makes it live in another way in society than it would if it's just by isolated individuals.
Well, I'm planning on having a conscious convergence gathering here at my home up in the mountains.
Yes.
And so I'm going to be doing something like that as well, and it will help raise awareness. And
yes.
And I think you just hit it on the head that there are so many separate groups that have good intentions.
Yes.
But there's not a cohesiveness and not a coming together of what really needs to happen, and that is a commonness and a unity of intent. So this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for all of us to, as you said, come together and create a Jacob's ladder.
Yeah.
And we're going to need it, as you said, in the future. So I think this is a wonderful thing.
Thank you. Yes, I'm happy you say so. I should say one thing that makes me very excited about it is that there are now literally people in the different corners of the world that have pledged to participate in this. For instance, some significant Mayan elders have said that they want to make ceremonies on these particular days. And so that includes Hunbat's men, who was part of the Harmonic Convergence in 1987. It includes Don Alejandro Oshla, who is the head of the Council of Elders of the Maya. And it includes Don Rigoberto Itzep, who is in Momostenango, and who is the person who oversees the training of and initiation of new day keepers, as they called among the Maya. And it's really through this kind of a process where mentors have been teaching new day keepers that the Mayan calendar, the sacred calendar, has survived over the 500 years that it's been suppressed, essentially. And the heart of this system is really then in a location called Momostenango. And so we're very happy to see that being part of this event. But then there will that you might call be the Western Equatorial point, but then there will also be people in South Africa, in Cape Town, and it seems we'll also have representatives of the Bushmen, the San people, which is really the oldest existing culture of this planet. And you may look upon them here as like the representatives of the roots of the world tree of the planet.
Wow.
And we'll have people up in Scandinavia, in Oslo, in Gothenburg, and several other places. And we'll have people in Singapore, which would be the Eastern, the Chinese tradition, basically. And then you might say, I look upon the planet as a global brain, and it's sort of what I described now were the key points in a medicine wheel of the planet that will be manifesting on this day, and including in my view of the world as a global brain, the eyes would be the Hawaiian Islands, and so people will be gathering there in a place called the Haiku, so this is just just a few points, but I'm just very excited myself about the fact that here we have the north, the south, the east, and the west, and in like a global medicine wheel. And I don't know if it's ever been done so clearly before. And somehow that helps me get a global feeling of the whole thing.
Well, that's wonderful. I didn't realize that it was already catching on so quickly.
Yeah.
But it will be important for us to all, take part in this and take our place and responsibility, if that's what we so choose to do.
Yeah.
Create that intention, and I think that's really such a powerful and important step in reaching and climbing these steps to higher consciousness.
Yes, yes.
So I'm just thrilled about this. And,
yes.
I'll be keeping people posted on this on the show.
Wonderful.
Probably until it happens.
Yes, wonderful.
So,
Ben.
Now, when we're also entering the acceleration, there's going to be sometime between March 9th and October 28th, isn't there a period of time when we're reliving the entire galactic civilization in a period of months or days?
Yes, that's what I expect, that this will happen over the speed up of time. There's a 20 times increased frequency of the shift of energies in the ninth wave compared to the eighth wave that we're living in now.
Mm.
Now, if that's true, this is very, many people think that times are shifting, are accelerating much now, but then there would be an even further acceleration. And, and so I would say that in such a situation, the more important it becomes to have set an intention for yourself that you can always go back to and ask yourself, is this whenever you make your different choices in life or steps when this wave has been activated, and you can ask yourself, is this consistent with the intention that I set earlier? Because that will be like a rope to hang on to, I think. And it's with this kind of rapid energy change, we will not have always, I think, the time to logically evaluate our life's choices and base those on logic in the way that it maybe it's been possible 50 years ago or even several hundred years ago. But in this time, I think we will have to much more, our choices must be based on our totality of perceptual reality, what you might call our intuition and so forth. But intuition is not something that's just an abstraction. Intuition must also be subordinated to our basic intentions of life, I think. And if we set the intentions according to what we authentically want, then our intuition will follow and help us guide us in this very rapid time of change.
And perhaps part of the reason why the world looks so corrupt and negative at this time is because all of the aspects of ourselves or of our shadow that have been repressed are coming up, and it seems that it's quite a powerful mirror for everybody to look at and see what, you know, do we want this?
Yeah.
You know, is this the world that we have created? And if so, do we want to continue on this way? Because it certainly seems to be as if we're in a barrel going over Niagara Falls, and I think we've just gone over. So, you know, we're really, this is a very critical time for humanity because we may not make it.
Right. It is a very critical thing, and so it is really time for us to make up our minds, you might say.
And, well, we've had 4.5 billion years to think about it, so I think that...
That's right. Yeah.
So now, what is likely to happen if this acceleration continues? We'll be operating so well. Many of us who use intuition and are more balanced with the right brain will probably intuitively know how to move through these times and stay centered.
Yeah.
Kind of like the center of a tornado, you know, the calm, because it's going to be swirling around us and. You know, as in The Wizard of Oz, there's going to be a wicked witch and lots of things flying around out there.
Yeah.
But we won't have to be part of that. So perhaps the esoteric quality of that movie is that our intent is going to put us where we want to land. And it could be quite a beautiful and, you know, inspiring and a different place.
Yes.
But we're going to have to create it.
Yes. Right.
Now, what happens, is there, now assuming that time continues after October 28th, 2011, how does that relate to the ninth wave and the acceleration? Does it start to peak and then stay at a certain level and then decline, or... what happens after that?
Yeah. Okay. Now this is a question. My answer is sort of it's a little bit like guessing, but my own interpretation is a little bit different from many other people. Many other talk about some kind of an approaching shift. That we're going towards a shift. And to me, it's my view is different. My view is that we've been through all kinds of shifts since the beginning of time, and we are about to go through many more shifts, and the shifts will be increasing in frequency, especially when we enter the ninth wave. Mm-hmm. But that there will come a time, October 28, 2011, when the shifts will come to an end. And what that means is that when that happens, there will be a new stage of for life. But that stage for life is a stable, non-shifting stage.
Mm.
And this, for me, is a great source of hope, really, because in my studies of the Mayan calendar, I've seen that so much of the conflicts and warfare and it's not only the negative things, but also the positive things that have happened during the course of human evolution, that they are results of these particular shifts. And so if we are to expect some kind of a eternal peace to come about, well, mm-hmm. then I believe there will have to be an end to all these shifts that have been mm-hmm. sort of throwing people in one direction or the mm-hmm. other and constantly disrupting the harmony of the global society.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm twisting it in a negative sense, because on the other side of this is that it is also those twists that have these shifts that have driven evolution forward to where we are now and to where we're going. But you can see it either way, in a sense. And so to me, what will happen is that the shifts will come to an end. And the study of the Mayan calendar really tells us that up until now, and also up until October 28, 2011, human beings have been like puppets, mm-hmm. puppets of the process of creation. Mm-hmm. We have thought that we have a free choice, and maybe as an individual we do have a free choice, but collectively speaking, it's essentially been planned out. The different mm-hmm. shifts and the different effects of those shifts. And so what I expect then is that when the universe attains its highest state, when this new stage for life is being created, you might say that the threads that have kept, by means of which the cosmic plan has kept the human beings as puppets, those mm-hmm. threads will be cut off. Mm. And for the first time, you know, it will really be true, this slogan that people have been throwing around for some time now, saying that we create our own reality.
Mm-hmm.
And in my view, we haven't been doing that. You know, mm-hmm. I certainly did not create the tree that I see outside of my window here and mm-hmm. Anything else. But I think we are about to go to that point where it will all come down to our own creativity. But on the other hand, it will then a new harmonious framework, a new stable stage for life will have emerged, in which life will be lived. Life, I'm sure, would look very differently on that stage compared to what it's looking now.
Wow. Well, Carl, that was the perfect place for us to end, because it was such an uplifting and hopeful vision, and I share that with you. Would you share with the audience where your website is so they can do further research and find your materials?
Yes, I'd be happy to. My website is www.kalleman.com. So,
wonderful.
And there you can also, there are direct ways to get to my books, the Mayan calendar, the Mayan calendar and the transformation of consciousness, and the purposeful universe. And I recommend them all of course, since I wrote them. But,
and I do, too. I second that.
Thank you.
The Purposeful Universe is just an amazing piece of writing, and it's totally outside the box of the old paradigm. So
yeah.
it's really refreshing, and it's a wonderful book.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for coming back on the show. It's been just a delight to have you.
Thank you.
And we'll be having our Conscious Convergence parties on July 17th and 18th, and I'll keep people posted on the radio.
Thank you so much, Lance.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody. Good night, Carl.